Midway USA brand product designers have one straightforward goal: develop high-quality, technically sound products and deliver them to customers at reasonable prices. If you are immersed in the shooting sports industry and pay close attention to every single detail, you know our products are built right and stand up to everyday use. Who has shooting mats and range bag systems to hunting clothing and just about everything for the outdoors? Log on and shop 24/7 with super fast shipping. MidwayUSA.com.
This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night.
Every night.
I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
Sing it.
This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No, I don't care.
Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget live, not so live, from the Low Budget Live Bar and Grill here in rainy old Southern Tennessee, man. It's like cats and dogs out there. Cats and dogs, they say. All the creeks are rising, and it's kept me in the dang garage all freaking weekend. I know that, but this is Low Budget Live, and this is the podcast for Monday, September 20th. You bunch of low-lifers, you low-life and son-of-a-guns out there, and if you just tuned in to this, you just stumbled across it somehow for the first time, and you're like, what are low-lifers? Well, that is what the listeners of this fine program, it's what they refer to themselves as. So you're a low-lifer now, whether you love it, whether you hate it, you're a low-lifer. Some of y'all are closet low-lifers. You need to come out the low-life closet. You need to come and join the rest of us out here living that low life. I appreciate each and every one of you. And, you know, for the second week in a row, unfortunately, I have to start the show in a way that we should not have to start the show. And we lost another one. We lost a really good man, another father, another grandfather, another husband, another brother. And Skeeter Fowler was a professional angler on the National Professional Fishing League. If you've been around bass fishing, especially in the state of Texas or regionally out there, you've known Skeeter Fowler for a long time. He absolutely fished as many tournaments as anybody. Now, I've known Skeeter for quite a while now, and he was a good man. He was a good man, and he was on his way home from Lake Winnebago, stop number 5 on the MPFL. He left that event early. He wasn't feeling well, and he made it back to Arkansas. He called his wife, Amy. They ended up putting him in the hospital, and Arkansas, I mean, excuse me, Memphis, he never made it out. Never made it out. And he was 50 years old, man. And had COVID, ended up being, you know, double pneumonia, just crazy. And I was keeping up with it the best I could every single day. And it was like most of the stories that you see these days, is just an up and down, up and down, up and down battle. And unfortunately, Skeeter lost that fight. He leaves behind an amazing woman, three sons, two grandchildren, and it's heartbreaking, man. It's heartbreaking. This is something we should never have to talk about, whether it's the fishing community, your local community, nationally, worldwide. We should not be having to talk about what we're talking about. And it just seems to me that the answers to not having to deal with this severity in this are very simple, guys. It seems like it to me, and I'm not preaching to you, but it seems pretty damn simple at this point. It breaks my heart that I said that when I made a post. I recorded last week. I talked about Donnie O'Neill, and I asked you guys to pray for Skeeter. I knew he was in the hospital, and then I got a call. Literally, I had recorded on Sunday afternoon there, Wesley Strader. Brad Fuller from NPFL calls me about 8 o'clock that night to tell me Skeeter had passed. Man, I just don't even know what to say at this point. I started to even record another podcast because I was so in the moment. But I don't know. And then couple that with this week, my dear friend Justin Moon got amazing news. I got sent a video, and I won't share it publicly just because I feel like it's not my place. If he and his wife want to share it, they can, but he was moved into recovery. They're calling him the miracle. 8 weeks on a vent. And he goes down the hallway, and they literally, the hospital filmed this, and they played the Rocky theme music, and they all line the hallways, nurses and doctors cheering for him. And in this video, if you ever watch this video, you would see how much hurt and pain and death these healthcare workers are experiencing right now. And when they have a guy go to death's door and make it, how excited they are, because there's just not a lot of it right now, honestly. Like once they get to the point that Justin got to, and Donnie and Skeeter unfortunately lost their battles. And Justin's 35 years old, and I got another video of him yesterday, as a matter of fact, and he's having to learn to walk again. This was a 35-year-old that played football at the University of Alabama. Very healthy. Big old boy. And he's having to, I mean, he's lost like 80 pounds, and he's having to learn everything again. He's having to learn everything again. And it's just amazing to see what this thing that so many people are like, well, it's the flu. Welcome to flu season. I mean, I've gotten comments like that on my stuff, and like, man, you can't disregard it. I understand that there are very mild cases. I had a tough case with it. I didn't end up in the hospital. And I know I've had people in my life that just, you know, it's like the sniffles. It is very odd what it does. There's no doubt about it. But I'm telling you right now, we've taken vaccines our whole freaking lives. When your baby's born, they give them vaccines. When the kids go to kindergarten, you give them vaccines. When the kid, we've all been doing this for so long. I understand these things were rushed out. But to me, the answer is pretty damn simple. Pretty damn simple. And I know people are going to get heated about it. I understand people get triggered by it. My God, I made a Skeeter Fowler post, and Chris Zaldane posted on it, get vaccinated, fishing folks. And people, there was one guy, he lost his mind. How dare you say get vaccinated? You got to make the choice for you and your family. You do what's best for you. But man, I'm just telling you, this shit is scary. It's terrifying me at this point. And it's very real. And when you get a bad case of it, it's nothing to play around with, man. And so I feel like if a vaccine helps me be able to somehow fight it or have less of a case, and I know people are like, man, vaccinated people test positive. Well, yeah, of course they do. Of course they do. But they're not dying at rapid rates. They're not having to be retrained to walk. They're not, you know, exiting this world way too soon. And unfortunately, this has been made political to the point that those are the hills that people are willing to die on. And it's crazy because if you're standing on it from a Republican or Democrat thing at this point, like if you're a Trump supporter, not a Biden supporter, Trump's vaccinated. Like he said to get vaccinated. Like I don't know, man. I get all the not trusting what's going on, but man, there are just too many folks losing their lives. And I wasn't passionate enough about it, to be honest, until it really just hit home, man. And especially with losing Donnie and Skeeter and my friend Justin and so many more in my community, but it just really, man, it just hit me between the eyes. And I just think that we all got to do what we, this thing's not going anywhere. It's mutating. It's, you know, and I understand vaccines cause these variants, and this variant thing is obviously, if you draw the wrong hand with it and you've got whatever it is, if it's blood types, if it's, I am a very uneducated person on all this, but I know that, I feel like the only fighting chance we got is to try to protect ourselves, you know, and hope for some kind of herd immunity or something down the road, man. It's scary times, man. Scary times. And if you can look at this and, you know, or hear me say that and get mad enough to send messages or comments and like I've seen through all this, just don't waste your time. Just don't waste your time. Just don't listen anymore. Don't watch anymore. If you feel the need to be that negative when our fellow men and women of this country and of the world are passing away from this, man, there's just a lot that it's just, you got to have some empathy right now. And, man, I hope that we don't have to do any more podcasts like this as far as it pertains to the fishing industry, man. I'm just, you know, and I wondered all week, I've thought about what I would say and I don't know. I just, it's tough, man. It's been a long week thinking about that and thinking about the Fowler family, but thoughts and prayers to them. Take care of yourselves, people. Take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. Take care of yourselves. There was something I was going to mention. You know, Skeeter, he was so passionate about fishing, about taking kids fishing. He ran a tournament trail where they actually took kids and introduced kids to bass fishing. But his family, something that I saw in his obituary that I thought I would pass along, if you would like to make a donation and if you knew of Skeeter, if you ever had a dealing with Skeeter at all, you know he was a great guy. And if you'd like to do something in honor of the family or in honor of Skeeter's memory, and this just speaks to the kind of person that he was, but they want you to make donations to the Down Syndrome Partnership of North Texas in his memory to honor his nephew who has Down Syndrome, Keaton. I will put a link in the description here. So if you want to, you know, say, hey, we lost a Bassin brother, you want to do something like that so the family knows that the lowlifers are thinking about them and praying for them. I think that would be really cool, and I'm going to do that myself. So in Skeeter's memory there, Down Syndrome Partnership of North Texas. All right. It's, I don't know. It's, man, I, like I said, it's hard to move on. I said that last week. It's hard to, you know, this silly bass fishing world, man, this podcast stuff, it's crazy to, you know, to talk about what's going on just in the fishing world and in my life, because I feel so insignificant right now, to be honest. But it's a good outlet for me, and you know, I want to honor these guys. So I feel like that Skeeter, I know he was a low lifer. I know that he would he'd want me up here running my mouth about bass fishing, because I know he listened a lot to Low Budget Live. So thoughts and prayers to his wife Amy and his sons, and man, just y'all keep that family, those families, Donnie O'Neill's family, keep them in your prayers. Keep the MPFL family in your prayers, man. You know, Brad Fuller, Al McCullough, Paul Benson, Michelle Fuller, these guys, they we are a family. It's a tight-knit group, and nobody, you don't ever expect these things to happen. And it's been a rough couple weeks, you know, for sure. Got one event to go down at Grand Lake. We're going to head down there in about a week and finish this tight AOI race off. And I know it will be with heavy hearts, and it will be a very a bittersweet event to end our inaugural season without those two guys. That's for sure, because they were a big part of our league. They were some of the first guys that signed up. They were super supportive in what we're trying to do there. And it will definitely be strange not having them at that event making cast with all those guys trying to make the championship and trying to win Angler of the Year. But they will definitely be honored that week, and I'm looking forward to celebrating their lives at Grand Lake in Oklahoma. All right. Debbie Downer Luke. Sorry, guys. It's just reality, man. Like, you can't be all bubbles and butterflies all the time, and that's the reality of it. And it's very sad. Very sad. Very, very sad. But we're going to move on. We're going to move on to more fishing shenanigans here. I want to thank our sponsors. I think it's crucial to do that each and every week to make this thing possible. StarTron kicking ethanol in the teeth, in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, in your outboard engine, in your vehicle. Ethanol will gum up the works. It will mess you up, especially if your boat sits idle for longer than like 3 weeks. That ethanol can really start to become a problem. So anytime that boat's going to sit and you're not going to be running, you better put you some StarTron in the tank. I've had some of you reach out to me. Hey, man, are you running just normal 87 in that thing? Absolutely, because I'm not worried about it because of StarTron. Get that ethanol free all you want. That's fine. You can pay more for it. I keep a bottle of this in the truck, dump it in there. You're good to go. Get you a big old bottle right here. Treats 256 gallons. Kick ethanol in the teeth with StarTron. We appreciate them bringing you low budget live. And the folks at Sims Clothing Products, man, we're going to be using that Pro Dry this week as we prepare for the next Bassmaster Open down in Smith. We'll try to spend some time down there this week, just a day or so, but it's like a 90,000% chance of rain every day. So we're going to be rocking that Pro Dry. The Pro Dry Sims, making quality outdoor gear to keep you dry, to keep you warm, to keep you cool out there on the water, in the woods, whatever you want to do. And I'm here to remind all of you lowlifers, you get one life. Fish it well. The fine folks at Pro Guide Batteries bringing you Low Budget Live this year for the first time. We got those Pro Guides in that Express X21, the new lithiums. They weigh like ridiculously light, you know, compared to their AGMs, which the AGMs were awesome. I ran the AGMs all year. Love the AGMs, but I've switched to the lithiums now. If you'd like to try some for yourself, use code LBL10 at checkout over at ProGuideBatteries.com. Tell them we sent you. Tell them the lowlifers are in full effect wanting to buy some of them batteries. Get over there. Get them up. And last but not least, hang the banner, baby. Express Boats, the official boat of Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus, that X21 with the C-Deck with the 250 Yamaha show. We've been getting after it. I've been sinking me some brush. What? Been using it as a brush sinking boat. Leaves everywhere. Amazing. You come back, you spray that bad boy out, get the sea deck, you hit it with a vacuum a couple times, and you're done. It's amazing, man. I would never do that. I would never do that in a boat with carpet. And this boat is just, you can't beat it up any more than I beat it up. I'll just be honest. And I have put it through the paces this year. But Express Boats, building excitement since 1966. Go check an X21, an X19 out. You will not be disappointed. I can assure you of that. I've got a video coming very soon from having it out in the Gulf of Mexico. Going to want to check that out. So thanks to the sponsors. They do make this possible each and every week, and everything I do possible. So it's much appreciated, and try to support the people that support us, and us being bass fishermen and the fishing industry. All right, then. Little cut out on the mic. Moving on, congrats to old Eeyore, Michael Neal, got him a W. I'll text our guest today real quick. Right here. So Michael Neal, so many second places, one Angler of the Year this year over on the pro circuit, one of the hardest workers in bass fishing, man. Michael has been after it for a long time, even though if he's like, well, I only caught 200 pounds today. I don't think I can catch him tomorrow. I can only say that because he's my buddy. I like giving Mikey a hard time. But Michael has had, I can't believe he hasn't won before now, to be honest. So to see him win in such dominating fashion up there, BPT St. Clair, top 10 was loaded. Got Andy Morgan in there, my buddy the W. After we had Wesley Strader on, he takes that low-budget look right into winning his round and making the top 10. Coincidence? Most likely not. Andy Morgan was scheduled to film a Boats and Pros with me last week, which we did. Which we did right when he got home. Is it a coincidence that the GOAT did GOAT things because he was scheduled to do Boats and Pros? No, it wasn't. It wasn't. He took that LBL Boats and Pros look right to the top 10. Oh, me. Andy was, flipping largemouth up there. It was a cool event. Unfortunately, I got to watch a little bit. I didn't get to watch just a ton of the action. I had balls to the wall week. But had Tanner Lyons here filming some stuff and taking some photos and some different things. And then we wrapped up Andy Morgan pulled in the driveway and then changed clothes and came and met us at the boat ramp for a Boats and Pros that will be coming out very soon. And without a doubt was the coolest boat. So thank you to Andy for that because he's one of my childhood fishing heroes. I say that about a lot of these guys, but Andy is a guy that so many look up to, but Andy's a guy that I looked up to being in this region, Middle Tennessee. He's an Eastern Tennessee guy, but I'd run into him, I was like 16, 17 at BFLs, Redmans, team terms, different things over time. And just always, he was just like this to me. He was up here. And so for me to, I got to know him over the years, and I got to know him even better when I was fishing FLW, and I kind of ran in that circle with him and the Terry Boltons and Wesley Straters of the world, and just really, really good guys, really good guys. And I call him a friend now, and it's awesome. But I was just, to be honest, man, just with everything going on in the world, you just think about, I'm trying to be more appreciative and grateful. I've talked about that on here. But sitting there in this super cool boat, and I can't wait. I'm not even going to tell you guys what kind of boat it was because it was phenomenal. But just looking around, having him in the boat, him telling stories of how he got to where he got, it was a very, very surreal moment for me. And I can't wait for you guys to see it. So thanks to Andy and Missy Morgan. Missy let Andy come and do that because he just got home and he came to hang out with us. Down there. One other quick thing before I roll into our guest here. Shout out to Mikey Balls. If y'all watch Mikey Balls, I ran into Mikey. I've watched a lot of his YouTube stuff over the years, and I ran into him down on the Tennessee River with Tanner and had an awesome conversation. I've never talked to Mikey. We commented back and forth on some stuff, but shout out to Mikey down there grinding down on the Tennessee River, making some content. It was a very cool conversation that I had with Mikey, very informative, and he's a sharp dude out there making some good stuff. So make sure you're following Mikey Balls Fishing on YouTube because he, super educational stuff, catches a lot of giants, and Florida boy, but he's living up here in Huntsville, Alabama now. So I've seen his boat on the water. I've seen his truck at the ramp a few times, but we've never ran into each other. But going to try to get out and film some stuff soon. But shout out Mikey Balls Fishing. All right, stupid microphone. I don't know why it cuts in and out. Maybe because it's low budget. I don't know. It's not a low budget microphone, I'll be honest. Should not do that, but I think it's got a short in it. For real, the actual mic. I thought it was a cable, but I'm pretty sure it's a microphone. Pretty sure it's a mic. All right, today's guest is a guy that I've known for a while. He's a lot younger than I am in life, but I've known him, I feel like, forever, to be honest, through fishing and working at TH Marine and through my friend Sam George. I kind of got to know this guy. I've came to respect him for not only his fishing abilities, but just his work ethic. He really gets after it out there. He has a little over $400,000 in career earnings in his young career. He has two Bassmaster Classics, and he just wrapped up a top 10 in the Bass Pro Tour points. Ladies and gentlemen, from Tejas, Alton Jones Jr.
What's up, Luke?
What's up, brother? How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Man, I was just, making you look really good with an awesome intro. So when you go back and listen, I've got a Venmo on my Instagram for a tip jar, a virtual tip jar. So just drop some cash in because you won plenty this year.
Hey, if it's good enough, I might just have to hit you up on that.
Okay,
we'll see.
If you need a hype man, I try to tell that to everybody, and then I know most guys are too busy to even go back and listen to the interviews they do, so I know they're not going to listen to what I said. But I was digging around like I always do before the shows, and dude, I keep up with you as much as I do anybody, just because I know you. And I've always been a fan since I met you, and unfortunately, you run around with Sam George, and that's kind of how I got to know you. But I always keep up with you.
You gotta be careful who you claim that around now.
That is true. In North Alabama, especially, man, you're liable to get some ex-girlfriend's dad with a shotgun or something. You never know.
Exactly.
You never know.
He's a good old dude.
Sammy's the best. But, man, I truly, you guys were kind of battling through those opens together for so long, and then you won there in Shreveport, and you ended up making the Elite Series that year. You've gone on to make two classics. But I was looking this year, man, and top 10 in BPT points. You had a top 20 in BPT points last year. You barely missed Red Crest qualification that first year. Dude, I guess my question is this. Because you've always been consistent. I feel like you've been super consistent everywhere you've been, whether it be bass or on the Major League Fishing side. Do you feel like youth is on the side of the guys like the Wheelers, like you, like Jordan Lee, in this new format? Because granted, I know you have spent your life chasing five bass until this switch, but do you feel like that's an advantage for you guys?
I definitely think it is. No matter what format you're fishing, just the way fishing is going with the technology and all that, and just the speed of the game has sped up, you know, when it comes to just the practice aspect of it. But to answer your question, yeah, in the format that we fish where every fish counts, I think, and when you come down to the 2 days of practice time, which is in my opinion, nothing.
On a lake like St. Clair.
On the fly. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And I do think it definitely plays to the young man. And I mean, you can kind of see that when you go look at the standings. You know, your Jacob Wheelers, Jordan Lees, Lucas's, Cannells, Michael Neals, those are the guys that have, I mean, just lit it up. They just don't seem to miss.
In the last 2 years especially, man, they've really those guys really, you know, and I consider Ott a young guy because he's younger than me. Every time I see like a happy birthday Ott post, I feel like Ott should be like 50. And he's like, you know what I'm saying? Because
I tell him the exact same thing. I met him for the first time this is long before I fished. He was rooming with my dad and Andy Montgomery at the California Delta. I helped my dad drive out there, and I think it was maybe Ott's first or second year on the Elites, and I was sitting there talking to him. I said, "Oh, how old are you?" He goes, 29. And I'm like, "You said 39? No, I'm 29.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I tell him he may be 36 now, but he'll always be 45 or 50 to me.
Well, dude, I give him a hard time, and he is an old soul, but I guess that's just he has that veteran. He's always carried himself like that, like a dude that you just wanted to sit in the corner and listen to him when he talked about whatever it is. You know, I've been at several events with Ott and had the pleasure of spending a lot of time with him like you have. And he is that guy. That's why it always cracks me up every time, you know, Jenny or somebody be like, "Wish Ott happy birthday. It's his 36. And I'm like, he's still not older than me.
I look at some of these guys and I'm just like, I mean, even Jordan and Wheeler and all these guys. And I'm like, they seem so much older than me because, you know, they were on the pro scene just a few years sooner. And I'm like, wait a second. Jordan's only like 6 months older than me, and he's got two classics and three BPT wins. And I'm like, what am I doing with my life? You know?
I know you're joking, but is that something? Because me personally, in my life, when I see people, this is just human nature, but you see people in that kind of same age range as you, in whatever you're into, and you're like, dang, man, well, they're here. And is that something you think about that you're like, that bothers you in any kind of way? Do you let it?
I mean, it doesn't bother me, but I mean, I think it just gives me a goal to shoot for. I mean, I definitely notice it, you know?
Yeah.
It would be crazy to say I don't. But, you know, it gives me something to strive for. I mean, never be complacent. And, you know, age is not really an excuse. You can't, you know, rookie mistakes aren't an excuse. And I mean, especially now I'm getting to the point where I'm not a rookie anymore. And, you know, you look around and I am very, very proud of my accomplishments at this point and the consistency that I've kind of developed.
You should be, man.
That being said, you know, seeing those guys and being friends with those guys makes you want to be better. You know, it pushes you and kind of shows you what the possibilities are. So, I mean, I wouldn't change anything, you know?
No, and is that something that was going to be my next question as far as like changing tactics? So you're super consistent, top 10 in the points. Do you think you have to do something different to win on the Bass Pro Tour? Or do you think it's just everything's got to fall in place on one of those final days? I mean, how does that, because it is so foreign still in mm-hmm. this, you know, with the zeroed out weights and everything, you do have to approach it differently obviously. And I do feel like Wheeler has figured out, I was talking with Andy Morgan about this. We were filming the deal this week and he said his strategy is better than everybody's. He said he's obviously an incredible angler, but his strategy for this format is just second to none. He said when you talk to him, it'll make your eyes cross. Do you think, is there something you have to change to get over that hump, or do you think it'll just fall into place?
I do think with time it'll fall into place. Now, I'm not saying it'll fall into place the way Wheeler's has.
Right, well, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I don't think anybody can expect that. But I do think I'm pretty happy with my decisions, especially this year that I made. Even in the tournaments where it didn't work out, I feel like I was doing the right things to win. And you know, I knew going into the final day at this last event on St. Clair that, you know, I told my wife and all my buddies that I talked to, I said, you know, I can win this thing if Michael Neal's fish aren't there, or, you know, if they move or right. something. And you know, his fish were there. But I think in a way you have to – the stars have to line up a little bit, and I just haven't had that happen yet.
And I think
I'm happy with my decisions, though.
That's the case in any, and we're, you know, I'm talking obviously just you're fishing BPT more than anything now, obviously, so we're talking more of that, but I think it has to line up on any trail. I do. You know, you got to get the breaks. I mean, that's a cliche saying, but, you know, like I know we can all go back, especially if it's five fish format, and you can think about those one or two fish, those bites, mm-hmm. that fish mm-hmm. you had right there at your hand that got away, that fish that blew up on a topwater, missed it, that puts you over the edge, whether it's a cut, whether it's a check, whether it's a top 10, whatever, or a win. So, I think that you're due. You are due. You are in that group with those Lucases and Jordans and those guys. You know, do they pick on you for not having a BPT win yet?
No, not yet. But don't give them any ideas.
Joe will give you some heat.
No. They're all awesome guys. It's really cool. I mean, because I'm a huge fan of them as well.
Of course,
I mean,
they're my buddies,
but you know, just to like over the past 2 years to just garner a little respect. It's not that they didn't respect me before, but you know, just in the whole fishing community, it's something that's kind of cool. And at this point, I really don't feel like I deserve any yet. So we're just gonna keep working. Trying to get a little better.
Dude, you got my respect. You're out here filming with Bill Dance. You and Bill just shoulder to shoulder. Everywhere I look, all over the internet, I'm being just thrown ads with Bill Dance and Little Out. Everywhere,
really,
man.
Cool, by the way.
Yeah, dude.
That was so – I used to watch him. My roommates in college thought I was absolutely insane because I'd get up at, you know, 8 a.m. and have a bowl of cereal and watch Bill Dance while they were still sleeping in the bunk next to me. And I'm like, I'm sorry, guys. This is just how I start my days.
So, that's awesome, man.
It was cool to get to, you know, I never really interacted with him. I'd taken a picture with him in a classic before, but
yeah,
never gotten to really spend time around him. And he's exactly what you see on TV. So
he's a pro. How long did you guys film for? Was that like a week-long shoot or a day or two days?
It was a full day.
Okay.
You know, so I basically spent from about 7 a.m. till about 6 p.m. with him, and I just hope I get to do it again. It was a really cool experience.
Yeah, I've been around Bill on several occasions at different things, and he's something, man. Did he give you any advice, or was there anything that you like grabbed from that day?
Oh man, you know, I don't know if it was specifically advice he gave me. I mean, he was very complimentary. And you know, one of the cool things is, you know, he gave me, he said, give me your phone. And he put his number in and said, dude, if you ever need anything or ever anything I can help you out with, you know, and just like, just the authenticity, you know,
yeah.
he doesn't need me. He doesn't, But the, you know, for him to extend a hand and just,
yeah,
just be willing to just, you know, hey dude, anytime you need anything, call me.
Yeah, like pass and, it on kind of deal.
Yeah. He was super, just super down to earth, super genuine, and he really loves people. He loves his fans. I mean, for we went to Subway, and of course, you walk into Subway, dude, everybody's head turns. Everybody knows who Bill Dance is. I don't care if you fish or not. And, you know, he just loves people and interacting with them. And it was just the way he treats people is really cool. That's probably the biggest thing I took away from it.
Well, you know, I filmed this thing called Boats and Pros. So the thing that you need, he said, if you ever need anything, is you need him to film a Boats and Pros with Luke Duncan. So thank you.
Okay. Yeah, that'll be my one favorite.
That'll be your one get out of jail free card for Bill Dance is to hook me up.
We'll see how good that intro is.
Yeah. I'll go back and re-record another one on top of that one after we hang up. I don't ever edit anything, obviously, but I'm going to go back and I'm going to make this the best intro ever. Ladies and gentlemen, the greatest human that has ever walked the face of the earth. Oh my gosh, that's awesome, man. I've got a list, like a dream list of Boats and Pros guests. And those that are just kind of like pipe dreams. And I do feel like Bill's one of those. And I've got connections to Bill where I think I can get the question asked, you know. But that would be very cool. Like a sit down with Bill would be very, very cool just to kind of talk old stories and stuff. That's what's so special about that series for me is picking those guys' brains. And, dude, you're a guy that you've got to do that your entire life, man. Like when I look back and I see the pictures of you and your dad with whether it's President Bush or like you have had this life, man, that a lot of celebrities haven't got to live. Like, and I mean, you know, we like to consider ourselves in the fishing industry. You are a very popular guy. People know who you are. People know who your dad is. Of course they know the Bill Dances, but dude, I'm talking about just outside of our little industry famous, and you have lived this life where you were homeschooled, you traveled with your mom and dad to these events, and do you have one thing from your childhood, traveling with bass, being in that circus, that chaos, do you have a story that jumps out at you that's like your favorite, like, wow moment for you?
You know, I mean, if it has to be my dad winning the classic. Back then, that was right about the time I was starting to fish my own tournaments, local events. I was 15 years old. Kind of when I was coming into the point of life where I was like, you know what? I love fishing. I might actually be able to do this as a career. You know, I was always good at it cause I did it a lot, but, that's kind of around the time when I was like getting hungry for the tournament aspect of it. And then I was allowed to practice with him back then. So I was with him when he found those fish, when it's spitting snow on Hartwell, you know, just through the whole practice experience, like just the behind the scenes, knowing every little detail and watching his dream come true, you know, was something that I'll never forget. I mean, I got goosebumps right now just talking about
it. Dude, I do too. That's the practice. And I do remember hearing that practice story. I think your dad might've told that on stage. That you were with him or in an article later, but I do remember you guys being together when he found those fish on that, on that island, that he ended up winning on, but that's awesome.
And I absolutely had like nothing to do with the win itself.
Yeah.
I feel a little bit of like a part of it.
Of course.
So cool. And, you know, that if one story has to jump out, it's that one right there. You know, there's a million of them that I could tell, but a lot of the stories that I would tell come from that moment that made that's what made it a possibility. You know, the going to the Oval Office, getting to fish with President Bush, things like that would never have been possible if he doesn't win the class.
That's right.
So you know, you got to look at kind of where it all started.
No doubt, man. And that's such a crown jewel, such a moment. But your dad, but up till that point, you know, the classic makes so many careers. But for your dad, I feel like it was a cherry on top, right? I mean, is that fair to say? Because your dad was already Angler of the Year. He was like this dominant dude.
He actually never won Angler of the Year before.
I thought he won Angler of the Year.
Yeah, he finished second to Jay Yellis.
That's right. In 90.
The closest he ever came.
That's right.
It was 2003.
Okay. My dates are all messed up. I thought I thought he won that year.
There was about a 7 or 8 year span, really, if you look from like 2003 to 2010.
He's always in the mix.
He was there.
Yeah, you know,
he's
always in the mix. Like, yeah, always.
It was like Kevin. Jeez. It was like Kevin Skeet, and then just like the little dude in the shadow behind him looking at him, but not a little too far away. It was always, you know, he was right there.
That's so crazy because I feel like so many people think if you're just keep up with this, that he won one because he, like you're saying, he was always there. He was always right there.
Yeah.
Wow. So that, unbelievable, man. That's, it's funny when you say looking at him, because I always, your dad to me when I was a kid, especially, and it was cool to see him win heavy hitters this year, sight fishing, because your dad was like the sight fishing dude to me when I was a kid, like reading articles about it. You know, it was either a Yum Dinger or sight fishing and a combination of both at times. For your dad. Is that something that you excel at or you try to do? Because you're like a swim bait dude. You do a lot of stuff. Like keeping up with you on social media, you like to do a lot of stuff. But is there one strength that you picked up from your dad, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, the spring's early pre-spawn into spawn, you know, those first couple phases of the spawn itself, which would be his strength, I think have carried over. They're probably what I'm best at. I do think I'm decently well-rounded. But that would sight fishing in general, I just picked up a lot from him. And what's crazy is I consider myself to be pretty dang good at it. And like what would take a fish that would take me 30 minutes takes him 5 minutes. The dude just can read a bass like a book.
That's crazy.
He's really, really good at it. And I don't think he gets it. I mean, just from being in the boat with him, and I've been in the boat with a lot of people, I mean, I don't think he gets enough credit for as good as he is at it. To be honest, I mean, I'm biased, of course, but I think he might be the best sight fisherman ever.
That's awesome, man. Personally. And those are tricky. Those sight fish tournaments are tricky to win anyways, right? Like it comes down to boat draw a lot of times and different things. It's kind of like a ledge tournament in that sense. But I would put your dad on that Mount Rushmore sight fisherman for sure, up there with the Guidos and the Shaws and the, you know, and the pioneers of it, you know. He made me buy a lot of, you know, white baits when I was a kid, man. I read a lot of Alton magazine articles, to say the least. But it's interesting to me when you said when you were 15 you're fishing your own stuff and your dad wins a classic and that kind of solidifies things for you. To me, when you're out there, I mean, I guess it could go either way. It could be, you know, I've played music for years and I fish. And my kids, really, they do a little bit of each, but they're not like as serious as I've ever been about either one of them, right? Like they love it, and you always hope that your kids find common ground with you, you know, as a father, that's what you hope. Yeah. But when you said that at 15 he wins a classic, kind of solidifies. Was there ever a point where you weren't just, hey, tournaments are life, because you were at those tournaments? I mean, was there a period where you were like, man, I want to be a doctor? I mean, you know what I mean?
I'll say this first. I was never smart enough to want to be a doctor. But, growing up as a kid, I wanted to be a fighter pilot because I love Top Gun. I wanted to be a pro baseball player because a buddy in town, one of my dad's buddies was, you know. I went through all the phases like a kid did. But I think once I said earlier, I always loved fishing. I was always good at it. But, like, whenever I got my taste of really just fishing even jackpot tournaments, like the competition aspect of it is like what really just lights a fire under me, you know? And so it wasn't until I really got to fishing tournaments that it just like clicked. Like, this is what I love. This is what I want to do forever, you know? And so,
and kind of got on your own, I would think, like competing on your own.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was very, very fortunate. I had an inside track that a lot of people didn't have, you know, access to the top of the line equipment at a very young age, which most people shouldn't have, maybe. And I had a silver spoon in that aspect for sure. But you know, once I got out there and I was controlling the boat and making the decisions and competing, whether it be local stuff, bass champs, or, you know, even fast forward to college and open, things like that, it just, like, every tournament I fish, it makes me hungrier for the next one, you know?
That's you're obsessed, man. That's the common theme on LBL with every angler that I talk to. You got to be obsessed. If you're not obsessed, then you're not going to make it. You're not going to survive because you can't just be half-ass at it, to say the least. Did your dad ever, because he knew, because it's not an easy life. It's just not. You grew up knowing that. You saw the struggles. You saw the successes. You saw the in-betweens. Did he ever at any point go, hey, maybe go, and I know you got an education. Did he ever say, go maybe check out some other stuff before you decide to go cast for bass?
Yeah, he really did. I mean, he was a huge supporter of mine, but he was also he was a realist, you know, when talking to me about it. I mean, I had a boat through college and kind of my deal was, hey, if you go to college, go get a 4-year degree. You can have a boat as long as you keep your grades up. But there was like a fine balance there. I can remember my freshman year not having very good grades and the boat gets threatened to be taken away. And then, you know, come to my sophomore year, my grades get really good, but I don't fish enough. And he's like, hey, why do we have this other boat if you're not going to use it, if you're not going to grind to pursue your career?
Wow.
You know, so it was like, I mean, it was a back and forth, but I've literally heard him told me, and he said it out of love, but like, hey, and I can remember this my sophomore year. He's like, I don't know. Like, if you're not out there grinding, like, I don't know if you have what it takes to do this.
Wow.
You know, but he said it out of love, and, you know, it pushed me to be better and you know, just to fall more in love with fishing. But he was my biggest critique and biggest supporter at the same time.
You know? Is he still, now that your career is budding into what it is he still critical at times of – like, if you guys are shooting the breeze going down the road and you're like, yeah, I decided to go do this instead of this on the water, do you guys have those conversations?
Yeah, a little bit. I don't know if I'd call it critical. He is, you know, he definitely knows that I'm my own angler now. And that was one of the things I had to learn when I became a pro, is like, I couldn't be my dad.
No doubt. You know? Yes, tricky.
You know? And just like, I mean, anybody, you know, Bobby Lane can't be Chris Lane.
That's right.
And Matt Lee can't be Jordan Lee. I mean, you got to be your own angler. I don't even remember the question, but he doesn't dog on me too bad. Now I will say this, he doesn't listen to a word I say.
That's like a dad thing, man.
When it comes to my advice, it doesn't matter how good of a year I've had and how bad a one he's had. Everything I tell him goes in one ear and out the other.
He's like, listen. He's like, go in the garage and look at them plaques I got for them top 100. So they gave you a plaque for like 21st place. Bass used to give a plaque to everybody that showed up, I feel like. Top 50. If you got a check, you got a plaque. Go look at them plaques covering the garage, son, and don't call me back. That's hilarious. Because you're like, hey, man, what about this mag draft? What about this G-crack? What about – he's like, I don't know about any of that crap.
He said, I'm going to go throw a rage dinger and a rage cutter worm and a young dinger, and I'm going to be good for the rest of the day.
Is that's his deal right there, huh?
Yeah,
pretty
that's
much.
About it.
That's so funny, man.
But he is my biggest fan, and no, he doesn't really critique me, but I do seek his advice on a lot of things throughout, whether it be fishing related, sponsor related. That's a big one because he's been –
for
he's
sure
through it all, you know, negotiations wise and things like that. So he
very cool.
I seek his advice more than he tries to give it without me wanting it.
I love that he doesn't listen to you though, because I have one of those dads. And I'm like, hey man, you should get some of these, they're really working, man. Get you a live scope, get you one of these. Like, I ain't using that crap. I've been using this 3/4 ounce spinner bait since 1982. What else do I need?
I got a perfect example for you, and this will just sum it up. I mean, for the past, what's the king? I'll ask you right now. What's the king of the chatterbait? What's the best chatterbait out there?
Jackhammer for sure.
Exactly. Okay. And so, you know, we've been throwing for how many years? I mean,
yeah,
4 or 5 years. I don't know how long it's been out. And I've been telling him, I said, hey, you need to be throwing this chatterbait when you throw a chatterbait. No, I'll just throw the old school one. I'm good. Don't worry about me. And then, you know, I've been telling him this for 3 years, and then he has one call with Brent Chapman. After Brent Chapman has a great finish on chatterbait, he'd be like, hey, Adam, have you sold the jacket? Do you sell the jacket? This is pretty good. I think this is the one we need to be throwing. I'm like, do you listen to a word I say?
He's asking you for your tackle warehouse discount code. You're like, hey, get out of here. Yeah. Get your own jackhammers.
Exactly.
Stick to your yum dingers. That's awesome. But
his old school tactics, they still kiss playing back.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. That's awesome, man. That's too cool. I love those stories. That's good stuff, man. Really good stuff. Well, what does 2022 have in store for you? I know BPT again, and then I'm hearing guys are going. They're going to be more guys fishing the pro circuit next year. I've heard some names. Is that something you're looking at doing?
I mean, I've looked at it. It's a really fine line, you know. Like this year, I had Red Crest, 7 bass per tour events, which that in itself is not very much. But then you add in, I've got 4 cup events between now and December.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm like, you add all that in, I'm just kind of like, it's a fine line. It's either like 8 or 9 tournaments or like 17 tournaments.
It's a lot.
You know, there's no happy medium. So I think for me, it's going to be the Bass Pro Tour. I've got Red Crest and Heavy Hitter sewn up. So, you know, that'll be 9 events. And then if I want to fish any extras, it's going to be, you know, some Toyota series here around the house. We've got some on Rayburn next year, which I love that place. And so, take it easy and, hopefully just focus on the Bass Pro Tour and finishing a little better next year than we did this year.
Well, if you do, man, you're going to hold that AOI trophy. And I hope that we get to see that, dude. I really do. That'd be awesome to see.
Somebody's going to have to rip it out of Wheeler's cold, dead hand.
I texted him. I said, dude, you know, congratulations on just an amazing year. And I said, I'll be honest with you. I don't ever see it getting beaten, you know, getting knocked off the throne there as being one of the greatest years in bass fishing history unless you do it. I mean, no offense to anybody else. It was just such a freak deal, just a crazy thing to watch. And then for Ott to be leading it, though, going into that event, still mind-blowing to me because I was like, how do these points work? Do I not know how these points? But you look, and Ott had made so many top tens and as well, and Wheeler had like one bad one for him, know, and so they were right there neck and neck. But it's so super cool to see you mixing it up, dude, and being up there. And I don't even care that Sam George introduced us. I'm pulling for you, and I really appreciate you taking some time out of your evening to do some LBL, man.
Yeah, and hey, I got to just throw Sam George out there one time. I'm really pulling for him this year. He's had a pretty good start in the Open.
Yeah, man.
He's trying to make the elite. So that's what I'm going to spend the offseason doing is just watching him on the leaderboard, hoping he's going to have his big breakthrough year.
Yeah, I hope so, man. He's third in those points right now. I'm going to be competing in the Smith tournament with him, and then I'm going to be out there at Grand. And I've already told him at Grand, I'm like, look, because I don't care about Grand Lake, and I'm not trying to make the elite series. I'm not trying to do anything like that. I told him, I was like, dude, if I find anything worthwhile, you can have it out there. You know what I mean? Like, hey, that's all within the rules. If I can find anything that's worth a crap at a stingy Grand in October, you can have it. I wasn't even going to go to that one, and now I'm thinking that I'm gonna have to make my return to Grove, Oklahoma. I'm not looking forward to it, though, I'll be honest. Any of you Grove fans out there, I'm sorry for saying that on LBL, but your lake sucks in October.
the whole fall, those next three they have, Smith, Grand.
Oh, Miami, dude.
Man, that I'd rather go to the dentist.
Yes. Yeah, I mean, he's
no
been.
Offense, but like,
oh, that's, I know. Tough. And I love Smith with my whole heart and soul, man. And it's that time of year, what you're expecting weight-wise and everything, you look historically and from events I fish, and it's just not going to be fun. It's not going to be a fun week. It's gonna be an old grind.
To the Jesse Wiggins or his brother's fun.
No, for sure. Listen, I was on the phone with Jesse when they rescheduled us from April, and he goes, "Man, I hope that they schedule it for October." And they did, and I was like, "Well, damn it, here we go."
Yeah.
Not good, man. Well, dude, I appreciate you very much. Thanks for coming on. Thanks for telling those awesome stories, dude. And have fun this fall. Let's if I get out your way, I'll give you a shout. I'll make you take me fishing.
Yeah, I love it. Thanks for having me on.
Hey, man.
Appreciate it.
No doubt. Thank you.
All right. We'll see you.
Alton Jones Jr., ladies and gentlemen, right there. Been knowing it, man. He's another one of those dudes. Like, you think about him being a young man, but he's so wise beyond his years. Of course, he got a full-blown education fishing with his dad. So cool. Been wanting to have him on for a while. Alton is one of those dudes too that in my criticisms of BPT and my criticisms of Major League Fishing at times, he's called me on it, but not in a super confrontational way. He has said, "Hey man, this is where I disagree, and here's why." And he and I have had some very cool conversations on the phone, through text, different things, and I respect him I respect him a lot. And so I'm proud that he, you know, he gave us some time. He gave us some time here. I am even prouder that each and every one of you lowlifers out there gives me the time of day every single week for dropping in here to Low Budget Live. Take care of yourselves out there. It's a crazy time, like I opened the show with. It is just unprecedented what we're living right now. And so take care of yourself. Love your brothers and sisters, your friends and neighbors out there, because this life is a short one. That's a short one. I appreciate each and every one of you. Going to take you out with a little bit of Biloxi Blues. Little bit of Biloxi Blues, and I will see y'all next week. Make sure that you hug your mama. See y'all next time.
Damn these Biloxi Blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine. The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time.
I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Brave anglers search for the one they call king, but who will take his throne? Tune in to Waypoint TV's Battle for Silver, Saturday, May 18th from 12 to 6 p.m. Eastern, presented by Abyss Battery. Waypoint TV.